God demands to be first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, say that with me, and all these things, what does that mean? That means the cornucopia of God, the 3,000 promises that are in this book that promise you what God wants to do for you. When you put God first, all of these things shall be added unto you. Why do we worship on Sunday? Because Sunday is the day Jesus rose from the dead. It's the first day of the week for us. It's the first fruits of the week. Your success on Sunday controls what happens on the rest of the week. Why? Because the second principle, learn this, first fruits sanctify the following fruits. First fruits sanctify what comes after it. So Sunday is the day that sanctifies Monday through Saturday. If you don't give the Lord the Sabbath day, then the next 6 days are not going to amount to much because they are not sanctified by the Lord. Putting God first in your life establishes his lordship. If he's not first, he's not Lord. And if he's not Lord, there's no blessing. There is no favor. There is no prosperity. Think about that. C.S. Lewis said, when first things are put first, second things automatically fall in line. What it means to be first? First is preceding all others in time in order of importance. Listen closely. First does not mean number one. Nothing can be first unless there's something else to be the first one of. If you go to a speech contest, and you win first place because nobody else showed up. You were not first, you were just the only one. You follow that. First fruits is the offering of the first grain harvested in Israel. If you did not bring your first fruits to the Lord's house, there would be no additional fruit for the harvest for the priest to wave it as an offering before the Lord that brought the harvest to you. God is the Lord of all, or he's not God at all. God created Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the beauty of the Garden of Eden. Adam went to sleep, and he woke up married. It's enough to make an insomniac out of you. They didn't have to work 60 hours a week. They didn't have to battle traffic going to work and from work, and then wrestle with the IRS trying to keep what they could, or listen to some socialist candidate running for the presidency of the United States talking about how they want to tax you 70% for what you have saved after that. I won't keep on with that because I will get anointed all by myself and never get off of it. There's only one command, leave the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone. They had one rule and they broke it. God then gave us 10 commandments, and we broke them. And now we have over 1 million laws on the book, and we're breaking them. Because until we put God first, there is no rule book on the planet that's going to work. So the question, if God knew what they were going to do, why did God put the tree there to start with? The answer is to see if Adam and Eve would put him first when Satan came to tempt them. The temptation is to put their will above God's will. When your desires, your plans, your ideas become more important than God's plan, you have adopted the attitude of Lucifer, who later became Satan. You are challenging God's authority over your life. You can have the attitude of Lucifer. And I'm just going to say Satan from now on because he's the same guy. You can have the attitude of Satan and confess to be a Christian. And you can prove this in the Bible. The fact is, when Jesus and the 12 were rejected by the Samaritan, James and John asked Jesus for permission to call fire from heaven and burn them alive. That's in your Bible. And Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you have." Satan has come to what? Rob, kill, and destroy. Christ came to seek to save that which was lost. Christ came to seek and to save. The disciples had whose attitude? They had the attitude of the devil himself. That exists in this century. There are people who are looking for the right people before they join that church, or you're not in our group, or you're not of our denomination. We're not looking for who we can cast out. We're looking for who we can bring in. We're not looking for someone to put down. We're looking for someone to pick up. In the law of first fruits, everything is either sacrificed or redeemed in the Bible. Exodus 13:2, the Bible says, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Everyone who opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of men and beast, it is mine." End of quote. That's God's opinion. According to the Old Testament law, the firstborn was to be either sacrificed or redeemed. There's no third option. Every time one of your livestock delivered its firstborn, you were to sacrifice it or to redeem it. Fast forward to the New Testament. John the Baptist sees Jesus of Nazareth walking down to the Jordan River. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." John 1:29. Jesus was God's only begotten Son. He was the firstborn. He had to be sacrificed or redeemed. God allowed his Son, a male lamb without spot or blemish, to be sacrificed for the sins of the world, for your sins, for your sins, for your sins, and for my sins. If you do not accept that sacrifice on the cross, then you must die for your own sins. The wages of sin is death. God has made the gift of the death of his Son. You reject that death and you have to pay the bill yourself. Which is easier? The next concept, whatever is done with first portion determines what happens with all the rest. Follow this. Isaac was the firstborn of Abraham. As the firstborn, he had to be redeemed or sacrificed. That principle continues. When Abraham and Isaac came to the top of Mount Moriah, Isaac was tied. Now, he was in his 20s, so he did this willingly because his father was over 100. Isaac was tied and placed on the altar. God sent a ram. That ram, the Bible says, was tied by the horns in a thicket, which was divinely arranged to redeem Isaac. The point is, when the first fruit was given, it brings a mighty harvest. Whatever is done following that determines what happens with all the rest. Back to, you go to church on Sunday, the next 6 days receive God's blessing. You honor the Lord on the Sabbath day. When you give the Lord the tithe, the last 90% is blessed. Isaac was first fruit. Listen closely. I'm going to cover thousands of years of history in 60 seconds. Isaac was the firstborn. He had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons produced the tribes of Israel. They produced the Old Testament prophets. They produced the kings. Out of King David, 33 generations later, came Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples. And the world continued to grow because of the first fruits. Listen closely. Joseph sent for his family, Jacob and his brothers, which were 70 in number. They stayed in Egypt for 430 years and became a nation of almost 2 million people. The point is, even in severe persecution in Egypt, they prospered and grew. Why? Because back at the beginning, the first fruit, Isaac on Mount Moriah, had been sacrificed to God, and God blessed the Jewish people with a blessing that no one can take away from them. It is theirs forever. Consider the Exodus. God told Moses in Exodus 4:22-23, go to Pharaoh and say, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, I will kill your son, your firstborn." End of quote. The nation of Israel came from Isaac, the son of promise, the firstborn who was redeemed. Listen, redeemed property always prospers. And it is always supernaturally protected. Pharaoh rejected Moses' request to let Israel go. God sent 10 plagues to Egypt. The 10th plague was the death of the firstborn in Egypt. And the firstborn child and all of the cattle in the whole nation died that night. Exodus 12:30 says, quote, "There was loud wailing in the land of Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead." End of quote. Think about that. Millions of people woke up with a dead person in the house because they would not allow the Jewish people to go experience the spiritual relationship God had promised them to have. I'm saying to the nations of the Middle East that are gathering right now against Israel, Iran, Russia, Turkey, Syria, watch your step. There's a God in heaven that's watching Israel. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, and his eye is on you.
In ancient Israel, during harvest, first fruits were offered to the Lord to demonstrate that God would further bless a household.
When you give God the first fruits of your labor, you are recognizing that He is the source of all your blessing.
For your gift of any amount, Hagee Ministries would like to send you our One Nation Under God Christmas tree ornament and our Christmas cards designed by the mothers at the Sanctuary of Hope. For gifts of $250 or more, you will also receive the Hagee Ministries 365-day devotional and Medjugorje Maria ceramic and brass candle holders. This month, your gift helped the students of the Medjugorje Maria return to work.
We wanted to thank you for your generosity. Because of your order, we were able to come back from home. So thank you again.
Give to God from a grateful heart and see your blessings return in abundance.
Send your gift today. Call the number on your screen or visit jhm.org/firstfruits.
Consider the law of first fruits in the resurrection of Jesus and how this affects you. The first fruits found its prophetic fulfillment in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, "But now Christ is risen from the grave," listen, "and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep," meaning those who have died. Follow the facts. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day in the month of Nisan, that's April the 16th, which was the day of first fruits. His resurrection guarantees your resurrection and mine. Because He lives, you shall also live. 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep in death, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." There's coming a day for every person who died in a state of righteousness before God, that because Jesus, the first fruit, rose into heaven and is now in heaven, they themselves, in the twinkling of an eye, are going to rise to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. That's in the Bible. I hear people all the time, "Well, I don't believe that." I don't care what you believe. It's in the Bible. God said it, and that settles it. It's going to happen. Consider the law of first fruits and the fall of Jericho. 430 years of slavery in Egypt was followed by 40 years in the heat and the grit of the desert. With Joshua as their leader, God released a plan that would begin the conquest of the Holy Land for the Jewish people. Think of Jericho as first fruits. It was the first city that stood between Israel and the Promised Land. They are a nation of slaves who have never marshaled an army. They are learning principles of combat as Joshua is teaching them, but they're far from a mighty army right now. So God is saying, "I'm going to fight this fight for you because this first city belongs to me." God made it clear He was giving them Jericho. There was only one thing forbidden, and that was the gold and the silver in Jericho. And that's according to Joshua 6:18-19. "And you by all means abstain from the cursed things, lest you become cursed. When you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse of trouble for it. But all the gold and the silver and the vessels belong to me, saith the Lord." Because Israel fully understood the law of first fruits, every one of them got the message except one guy, Achan. There's always one guy in the crowd that thinks he's smarter than anybody else. That night they went to bed in Israel after Jericho collapsed, and Achan is laying in his tent saying, all of that money is just a few hundred yards right over there. I can slip from tent to tent in the darkness and get gold and silver. I'll be rich for life. He went over there and got it. He came back, buried it in his tent, rolled back on his cot and said, I'm rich! The next day, Israel went out to fight Ai, a little old insignificant army. It would be like the Astros playing a Pop Warner team. They should have cleaned their clock, but they did not. Joshua inquired of the Lord, what's wrong? God says, get up. Quit praying. There's sin in your camp. There was a tent-by-tent search for every tribe. Achan had time to repent because there were thousands of tents to inspect. 11 tribes were searched. Achan's tribe, the tribe of Judah, was last. And they came to his tent, and Joshua came to the tent and said, Joshua 7:19, Achan, give God the glory. Give what you took. Achan had stolen the glory of God because he took the things that belonged to God. The result, what happened? Achan, his wife, his sons, his daughters, every animal he had, all his livestock, were stoned to death by Israel. They stacked their bodies in a pile and burned them to an ash to purge Israel of the sin of taking what belonged to God. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I never change. Have you stolen what belongs to God? Think about it. Because of one man's disobedience, the entire nation of Israel suffered a consequence. They had to deal with the Achan factor before they could come back and get the blessing of God. Are you taking what belongs to God? If one nation could be affected by one man, a church of 22,000 could be affected by very, very few. Oh, I don't know if I believe that. You know how cancer starts? One cell goes crazy, and then it doubles and doubles and doubles and grows, and it has you before you know it's there. Little things become worse if they're not corrected. If there are little sins in your life, don't pet them until they become a spiritual cancer. Get them out of your life. Confess it is wrong and stop doing it. The law of first fruits and tithing. Tithing is first fruits. God established first fruits to remind Israel of his lordship. First fruits include children, animals, crops, fruit, trees. The Bible says, I want the first portion of everything. When God destroyed Jericho, it was the first city conquered in the promised land, on the road to the promised land. It was the first fruits where God said, bring all the gold and silver from Jericho to my house. God didn't say, you conquer 10 cities and give me the gold and the silver from the last one and I'll be satisfied. No, I want the gold and the silver from the first one. Listen now, your income is either consecrated or cursed. Think about that. The tithe in Scripture is either consecrated to the Lord if you keep it for yourself. It becomes a curse to you if you steal it from God because that's God's money. Malachi 3:8-9, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. God says when you don't tithe, God puts your picture on the mugshot in heaven. Known thieves in San Antonio. Shoplifters all. When a redemptive work is in process, the number 10 will be involved. There were 10 plagues that were used to get Israel out of Egypt's bondage. 10 commandments were given to Moses at Mount Sinai. The donkeys were sent to get Joseph and bring him to Egypt were 10 in number. The tenth part of your increase points to the redemption of your increase. The question is it possible to give 10% of your income and not give the first fruit? And the answer is yes. The tithe, according to the law of first fruit, should be the first of your income that breaks the curse. Let me give you a very simple illustration. Let's say that these are $100 bills. They're not, because this is a low budget program and we don't carry that kind of money around. Our security is good, but there's no need to test them. There are 10 of these, and it's your time at your house to start paying your bills. And so you make your house note, you make your Mercedes payment, you pay for your trip to Hawaii, yeah, you pay your lawyer for various things you shouldn't have done, and you get right on down to the end, and this last one you give to the Lord. This is not the tithe. The tithe is this one. This one. Oh, you say, but it's the same amount. That's not how God counts it. God says, I want to be first. I don't want to be after your poodle or after your vacation. I want to be first. The point, when you give the tithe, the 90% is consecrated and it's blessed. And God will bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or imagine. Are you giving what God asks, the first fruits? Or are you playing like Achan, stealing what is God's and praying for God's blessing on your life? Think about that. You can go to church and sing Amazing Grace and be a thief. Do you want God's favor? Do you want His abundance? Do you want unlimited victory? Do you want divine health? Do you want unlimited promotion? Do you want a harvest of your fields? Then give God what He asks. So shall you prosper. In the Old Testament, Moses told the children of Israel to bring the offering to the priest, to anointed hands. When Jesus was on the earth, He told His disciples to bring the boy's sack lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish, first fruits. He blessed it. It multiplied. They fed the thousands of people who were there and gave the boy a basket, 12 baskets, to go back home with many times more than he came with. Today, as we celebrate first fruits, I want us to do what God asked Israel to do. I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. As required by the Lord concerning Israel, to bring your first fruits offering forward and place it on the platform. You can bring your 2020 pledge or whatever it is you wish to give. Please start coming forward now.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
We have received many praise reports from those of you who have honored the Lord by obediently giving your first fruits.
We thank you for blessing this ministry with your financial gifts and your prayers. To God be the glory for the lives that He has helped change. Now stay tuned, because Pastor Hagee is going to bring a special blessing.
A lasting legacy is all about the actions you take during your life. Your actions will affect how people remember you for generations to come. As a legacy partner, your monthly gift supports humanitarian efforts in Israel, the Sanctuary of Hope, and our global broadcast outreach. The Bible states that when you bless Israel, God blesses you. God can use us in amazing ways to enrich the lives of God's chosen people. Partner with us today. Call the number on the screen or go to jhm.org/partner. Our world is in crisis mode, but God is still on the throne. From New York Times bestselling author, Pastor John Hagee, Earth's Last Empire, The Final Game of Thrones, newly revised and updated with up-to-the-minute information on how contemporary events shed light on what is to come and how this will eventually take us to the Battle of Armageddon. Earth's Last Empire, The Final Game of Thrones, available at jhm.org and wherever books are sold.
You've been watching Hagee Ministries. And now, your blessing with Pastor John Hagee.
And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you His peace. Peace that is so great that when you don't know the way, you are confident, resting in the knowledge that He does know the way. When you don't know why, you know that He has the answer. Understanding that He wants the very best for you, and He's guiding you with His invisible hand. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, for He has been guiding your path from the day of your birth. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In Jesus' name, receive this blessing for you and the members of your family today. Amen.